brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We're hearing so many readings that speak of Jesus' goodness, of healing, of speaking the truth to people, of seeking to set people free, of forgiving sins. You know, if I were to translate that into modern times, I'd say I could just see the average person folding their arms, you know, across their chest and saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe that's real. Nobody could be that good. Do you understand what I mean? We're so quick, especially when we see true goodness. We don't want to be duped, and that's a good thing. We don't want to be taken for a fool, and that can be fine. So I'm not saying just believe everything. But brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is offering us freedom. Even in this life, a level of freedom that most of us don't walk in. Why wouldn't we choose it? Sometimes it's because we have particular attachment to sin. I don't want to give up this sin. Yeah, I know it's a sin, but I don't want to give it up. And what we do is allow ourselves to be bound tighter and tighter. By doing that, it becomes harder and harder to break free. And I so pray for all of you who listen to this program that during this Lent, that those cords that bind you, whatever sin binds you, whatever sin has you in its grip, the power is broken. And all you can do is limp or stumble or crawl as close to Jesus as you can and say, Jesus, I can't break the power of this sin in my life by myself. Jesus doesn't want you to do it by yourself. He says, come to me. So come to him and stay there. Stay at his feet. Day after day, spend time with him. Make time. Spend time with him and ask him to set you free. Pray Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You're the sheep. Let the Lord be your shepherd. Let him lead you. He'll take you away from the wolves. He'll bring you into green pasture. He'll bring you into safe pasture. The reading for today is taken from the prophet Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 21. Thus says the Lord, lo, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. For I create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. He dies a mere youth who reaches but 100 years. And he who fails of 100 shall be thought accursed. They shall live in the houses they built and eat the fruit of the vineyards they plant. In other words, they won't have to wander searching for a place where there's water and where they can grow something. They shall live in the houses they built and eat the fruit of the vineyards they plant. In other words, there will be peace and blessing if we follow him. And so many of us, I know I've done it in my life. Lord, I'll be glad to do what you want. Just do it this way. Or I'll be glad to do what you want, but let's do it in this timing, or let's wait a week, or let's wait a month or a year. We all have ways of trying to control. I want the will of God, but I want it my way. I want it in my time. I've spoken about this before, but I say it particularly here during Lent because it's a time where there's so much grace. So much grace available to us. That the power of sin, whatever, I mean, there's all kinds of sin, but what's the key sin in a certain way? What do you come back to again and again and again? Is it greed? Is it jealousy? Is it hatred? Is it envy? What is it at the root? What causes your sin? And if you don't know what the root is, ask God, show me what the root of my sin is. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's selfishness. What's the root of the sin that really entangles me, the major sins in my life? What's the root? Please ask the Lord to help you to see that, because he really does want to set you free. Prophet Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 21. Thus says the Lord, Lord, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. I repeat that because I want you to hear that there will always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create, what I'm the author of. We're called to receive. We're not called to build our own kingdom, but we try. You want to participate in building his kingdom. You want to belong to him. This day choose who you should follow, who you will follow. Really choose to follow Christ. Don't just wander in the desert, because that's where you'll end up. Choose to follow him. And tell him that in your own words. Psalm 30, psalmist gives us what exactly happens to many people. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. You did not let my enemies rejoice over me. You pulled me out of all that. You brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from those who are going down to the pit. It goes on to say, at nightfall, weeping enters in. Yes, it does. In the night when we come up face to face against our weakness and our sin, and we see how disastrous things are. It's hard to take that kind of an inventory. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. Because when I come to the Lord and I say, here are my sins, will you please forgive me? He does, and he sets you free. And you can begin again. There are all kinds of images, but the Good Shepherd image keeps coming back to me. He's the one who protects and defends and makes a way for us. And he will not fail any of us. And if we're too weak, he'll pick us up and carry us if we allow him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, I will give you rest. Come to me. And the gospel is taken from John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. It's really true. The world can acclaim you for all kinds of things, and then you go back home, so to speak, sometime, and people don't even know that you've got all this acclaim or that you've won these things. They just remember you when you did this and when you did that and when you didn't do this. It's just true. You're brought down to size many times when you return to your home. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. And when he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. And then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him. This is a royal official, so most probably a pagan. He went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. And Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the royal official must have just looked at him, probably with tears in his eyes, and said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Do you hear that plea? We can say that. Sir, come and help me before I die. And Jesus said to him, you may go. Your son will live. Now look at this next sentence. The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. He believed him. Even those who had given, many who had given their lives to Christ still had all kinds of trouble. But here's a man, he could have grabbed him and said, no, 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 you've got to touch him. No, 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 you've got to do this. But the man believed what Jesus said to him, and he left. And while the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover, and they told him the fever left him yesterday, about 1 p.m. So this man had walked a long way. And all Jesus said to him, go home, your son will live. And he believed him. Would you? Would you? It's important to see where the level of your faith is. Don't worry about where it is. Acknowledge where it is. Would I have been the skeptic? Would I have been the cynic? Would I have run home with joy? What would I have done? The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he and his whole household came to believe. When we ask God to help us, and God does, tell the story. Don't be afraid to tell the story. When you really experience God intervening in your life, tell the story. Tell it to your friends and to your neighbors. Your family members might chuckle and think, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But go ahead. What God has done for us needs to be proclaimed. We need to get up some courage, brothers and sisters, in the marketplace. That is, at work, at school, in the neighborhood. We need simply, very simply, but to be able to share what God has done for us, to express our gratitude to God in the presence of others. People might just kind of smirk. Some people might turn away. Some people might genuinely listen. It's okay. Just say it. The seed, you're planting seed. It's up to the person to receive it and water it, but you're planting seed. Just do and play the part God gives you. But when good things happen to us, tell people about them. Don't say, oh, I don't want to talk about myself. You're not. You're talking about the Lord. At least I hope you're talking about the Lord. That the emphasis is not on, oh, look what happened to me, 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 me. Not that, but look what the Lord in his kindness has done for me. Where's the emphasis? It's on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, during this season of Lent, God wants us, really wants us to grow in faith. I'm going to be saying a lot about it in the months to come. But I want to say to you right now, in this season, keep asking God for what you need. Ask him most of all to increase your faith, that you may believe him and trust him and follow him. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.